Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lil' Mama bag got that code in
his. Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. It is the greatest sex education comedy podcast in the known universe. Hello, I am Dr. Timmery, your resident sexuality educator.
And I am your resident sexuality educated, Daryl Charles.
Yay! Yeah. Daryl, how you doing? We're recording during Pride Month. How's your Pride going?
How is my Pride going? My Pride's okay. Not different than many other months. I haven't had to be explicitly gay.
Okay.
But it's nice to know that the door is open. You know, mm-hmm. The back door, if you will. I'm proud to not be gay. I don't know how you say this. It's never been a thing of mine. I've looked it right in the face. But you know, I'm happy for everyone who is gay. I don't know. How do you feel during February's? I don't know.
I'm usually cold. I'm mostly just cold. It's a shitty month. I'm a delicate flower when it comes to the temperature, so for me I'm just like just crying the whole time because it's
well
cold.
You know what, I will say that I'm like that because this month is always hot and I will turn into sweat starting in March. Yeah. So there you go. I'm a little because it's very moist and I can't wear my A-line t-shirts. I have to wear full t-shirts. This is a sweater's problem. Like, because there's no underarm support. There's no underarm support. So because it's just bare skin under the shirt at the places where I sweat, it looks like I'm carrying jugs of water without the jugs. So.
Okay. All right.
Slightly, I am uncomfortable, but not for the gay reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's yeah. Just,
we are delicate beings.
Exactly. It's like you hate February, but not for the blackness. You just, it's the month. You just move it.
I don't like the cold. I hate the winter. And when people are like, winter's my favorite season, I'm like, no, 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 no. You like sweaters because you are an inside kid. That's all it is.
Nah, and sweaters on the inside. Listen, okay? When it gets cold, people think that sweaters are cute. And they're not because they're inside. And it's usually nice and temperate inside. Again, this is all just about how much I sweat. sweaters are for the fall and when you have to be outside for a long time. Maybe if I had to go chop wood or something, even then. Ooh. I'd do it in a t-shirt. I'd just be steaming. Yeah. Anyway, speaking okay. of being very hot and or cold, you know, I can't wait to see what they have to say about this month. But our guest today is an activist and comedian. You've seen them on TikTok. You've seen them on Instagram and you've seen them at shows. If you are in and around Philadelphia and elsewhere, the creator of two different comedy albums, please give a warm round of applause for Che Guerrero.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you for knowing I did two albums, self-produced.
Man.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Oh, dude, you were like one of the first people to tell me about albums. Like, they would not have been a Black Gentrifier if you weren't like, yo, you know what you should do.
Yeah, yeah. You make money off those albums. Yeah, you don't think about it, but yeah, you make a few bucks.
Residuals. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, so.
So in addition to your comedy, you're also an activist. You want to tell the nice folks what you do?
Yeah, I mostly focus on the undocumented community, the immigrant community at large, but I grew up undocumented, still have issues with my status. That's why I tell people I'm for a limited time offer, so just, you know, enjoy me while you can. So that's why I try to really use my expertise of, well, my firsthand knowledge of growing up undocumented to teach people, like, mostly through humor, like, this is the dumb things we got to go through, you know, we can't go to college, we can't get healthcare, we can't get these basic rights that people just, you know, have. And through that, I started during the pandemic and I didn't realize how much the undocumented community doesn't usually laugh at their own situation. So I was even shocked at how quick I got fans and people being like, oh, thank God, somebody coming on here, like joking about it, instead of always being like, 2,000 immigrant children go missing every day. And I was like, yeah, we get it. It's terrible. But from time to time, Jesus, can we like joke about some of the silly things we have to go through? So that's been my power is educating people through laughter. And it's been a blessing that I get to do it. And hopefully I can do it more and on a larger scale down the road. But right now it's just pretty much through TikTok and Instagram.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that's one thing I will say is refreshing. I mean, I like damn near every one of your videos I see. But when you bring up how secretive and quiet people have to be about it, it's just one of those things that like it never occurred to me. But it's like, yeah, that's secret living in a way that blows. But like, yeah, when you bring that up, I'm like, and that's
You know, it's so secret. This is actually one of the stories that, like, I really like to tell. I was actually one time dating a girl for about 6 months. We were like fully into each other. And then, you know, we kind of talking like, oh my God, what's the next steps? And we kind of thought that we were going to be able to get papers from one another, but it turned out we were both undocumented and for 6 months had never told each other that we were both, we get married, we get nothing out of this. Like, I mean, love, sure. Right. Nothing that we actually both were kind of working for with the other person for 6 months. Yeah. That was interesting.
Oh, did you notice that lack of an accent? Okay. Yeah.
What'd you think?
No, it's like, ooh, you notice that lack of an accent? Yeah, all right. This might work out. Okay.
Yeah. That's what's interesting about it. Yeah, you could date someone and not even know. Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah. I want to hear so much more. I'm going to follow you like immediately when we're done. I'm going to go to my phone. I'm going to reinstall TikTok.
Instagram is fine too. I just realized we're actually going to be working together at the end of this month. What? At First Person Arts.
Oh, okay. Yay. That's awesome. All right. I was like, are you doing burlesque now? What's happening?
Oh, okay.
That's a side quest. Okay.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I did stand up at a burlesque show, and at a punchline, someone walked up to me and put $20 in my hand. Hey. And I was like, listen, I will do the rest of this naked. Y'all better stop playing.
My God, you actually make money if every time a joke hit, somebody actually paid us.
Like, huh? What?
I gotta say, that's the one thing I hate about stand-up comedy. I am the person on stage. Everybody's looking at me, and I'm the person making the least fucking amount of money in this room. Like, dude, are you out of your mind? Everybody's looking at me. How am I making $12 right now?
Dude, I always, it'll never leave my head when I go to sit at a, when I'm performing at a place, I always look at how many heads cover my check. Like, I'll be in a packed room and I'm like, I'm making all y'all laugh, but I'm only getting paid what that person paid for their ticket. This one person in this auditorium is covering me. I hate everybody. And then you and then you filter that through your face and you go, waka waka or whatever.
That's such a good point. One person's covering your whole ride, gas, everything. That's how one you.
Yeah, or if you're a feature, a single table.
I mean, this is then you just and find the one tickets. Person in the audience and make them your sugar parent.
That's very true. Yeah,
be like, you know, instead of paying to come here, you could just give me that money directly.
You don't even understand what the personal experience.
My best stuff.
I'll do it in front of you. Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, shall we head to our first regular segment?
Please.
All right. Our first regular segment is, of course, the fucking news. This is news that's often about fucking. In this particular case, it's the potential, I guess. You'd have to be pretty ambitious, but this news is from a Live Science article. So this is not just nonsense. This is an actual real thing. And I love this so very much because this sounds like something somebody made up. But a photographer from Newfoundland in the town of Dildo captured some really stunning photographs of a giant dick-shaped iceberg just off the Canadian coast. And
That's floating into Conception Bay. You have to remember that.
Oh my God. Is it? I didn't even. It is. Yes. His name is Ken Pretty, which is also just fun.
It's a pretty big iceberg.
What a delightful image. Yeah. No, there's like balls and everything. Like it's got, it's definitely got like the whole, it's got a clear shaft, obviously, but there's like there's a visible like head shape to it and it's got balls. It's really impressive. And apparently it didn't last very long either. So it collapsed like the next day. It was like 30 feet tall and then it was just like gone. And who hasn't?
All right. You're getting a little old, you got a little bit of that liquids in you. You know what I mean? And look, let's just all be happy that we all showed up together. Hmm? Stop looking at the clock.
I am like, yeah, this feels too made up. Like,
right?
The town of Placentia, down Conception Bay in Dildo, Newfoundland. No, man. Like, who came up with that? Did God give his powers to like a 12-year-old for a weekend or something?
That is what. This is what the hell was that movie? Fuck.
Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty. It was like Timmy Almighty. It's like, you get one thing. I got it. Yeah. Hey, everybody, there's a big dick out there, huh?
I did that.
Somebody out there has a genie that's like, really?
Are you serious?
Really?
That's all I want.
Just watched 3,000 Years of Longing because it's up for streaming. Speaking of genies, Idris Elba's a genie and Tilda Swinton is the lady. And it's a George Miller one, so it's like really fucking vivacious, like with colors and shit. This is, anyway,
random. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it's a fun little movie with a lot of special effects.
And also, speaking of like kind of sugar parent relationship, that's a really complicated one. Because like when one of you is like a supernatural creature that is kind of like inherently subservient, but then also you have all the power in the world and are like thousands of years old. So it's like complicated power dynamics.
Yeah. Ooh. It is. Yeah. If you're in the DDLG shit, you're going to get a special extra kick out of.
I don't know why I feel sad that I've never seen the slavery from the genie's point. Oh, what a hell of a genie. Yeah, but he's a human being or whatever he is. Yeah, he has all this power. He's got to listen to you. I'm like, wow, that is, I feel terrible.
So, I mean, the idea.
To me, that was kind of really the plot of Aladdin, right? It was just like the plight of this powerful being that is like trapped and like at the whim of whatever douchebag happens to come across the container. Like,
yeah, it just so happens that like Robin Williams is able to have fun with it. Like, is all this song and dance and shit. If it was me, I'd be like, what do you want? Do you understand that I'm
Venus
clocked in?
In the ocean? Whatever, man. I don't know.
I just remember the lines like itty bitty living space.
Yep, exactly. He even makes that fun. I got out that damn bottle like, man, fuck you. Also, you get three wishes. Tired of y'all.
And I'm going to need a dildo in the ocean that I'm the only person to see. No one else gets to see it, but I get to take photos of it.
With your heart's content, I want to take a picture of a giant ice cock.
Say, at least I'm glad that like global warming is at least has some funny parts at the end. like, oh, look at that, a penis in the ocean. Wow. Hilarious. Like, that's how we're going out.
Yep. Let's not talk about how that glacier broke off or why it's floating so closely. Let's just, it's good time.
Everybody has been a little thrown off by like all the funny memes about the fires this weekend from Canada. Like, I'm like, oh, these are hilarious. I guess it's how we cope. You know what I mean?
Damn. I always bring up a quote that I got off the internet that my wife was talking about all the fire stuff. And I was like, well, you know, welcome to the coldest summer of the rest of your life. And she was like, Daryl, I don't like that. I was like, yeah, me neither. That's why I love it.
Coldest summer of the rest of your life.
It's a little too dystopian this week for me. Like, we're recording the week. Okay, so we just had the water thing. And then
that's right.
We had the air thing. Mm-hmm. And then we had the learning that a fire below a bridge can collapse an entire chunk of interstate. That's new information. Like, yeah.
This is serious.
That fire on the 95 tells me that some fucking mafioso dudes in the 80s took a lot of money out of the construction jobs and put it in the park, because that shit should not have burned down like that. Literally,
that was new construction.
Huh?
That's new construction that they did not that long ago.
It was 2020 theft of money.
Here's a fun fact. In 2019, they pulled a bunch, like hundreds of millions of dollars out of the PennDOT budget and put it into police. Let's just point that out for a second.
Mm.
And then look where it's up. It's up in the Northeast in the hoods. So, you know, those places aren't getting the full amount of, you know, maintenance that they require.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't imagine what it's like to live there now, because now you have to go through that endless maze of one-way roads to get through that neighborhood. Monday is going to be... if y'all thought y'all needed to defend the Target down by the movie theater because of the blacks, please send police to Northeast Philly and just let them be traffic cops. They will avoid 300 murders.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's going to be a nightmare up there. Mm. Damn shame.
It was one of those things. So my mom lives very far away. She lives like thousands of miles away. So as a concerned Midwestern mother, she has to ask me about things that are happening in like Boston and like North Carolina, because it's like, is this affecting you? But she was, to her credit, the first one to let me know that the smoke thing was coming. And then last night she texted me, is like, does this impact you? And like, if I drove a car, it might, but I do not. So shout out to my mom, our weekly shout out.
My grandma used to be that foreshadowing, just watching the news and be like, watch out for this thing that's happening in four states. And you're like, oh, that might actually affect me.
Yeah, right. Remember my brother lives in Washington. He called me on 9/11. I was in Philly. I was at Temple. He called me on 9/11. Like, you all right? I was like, I'm in Philadelphia. there's no buildings to. We're all right, man. It's okay, buddy. Just we're all right. But also remember, cell phones weren't that ubiquitous, and like they stopped working. That was panicky. Anyway,
good times.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But at least we have these dildos.
Huh?
No, yeah, and again, like, why is there a town called Dildo? We have not really talked about that. Because why is the town called Dildo?
Because Vibrator was taken. Hey, all right. Thank you. Coming out.
Where's the word? I'm gonna look that up now.
Yeah, like, what's the origin of this word other than, you know, like a...
that thing? Yeah, I know, and right?
For a penis.
It's when you want to put pickle flavor into your bread.
What?
If you want to put pickle flavor into your bread, you have to start with dildo.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
God. Oh my God. Stupid.
Cock focaccia, I think is where we were going. Oh, no? All right.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. And then so then that makes me think of like when you make is it a sourdough or whatever that you have like the mother ball and you like give it to people.
Yeah.
Well, dildo is the bottom of a boat.
Oh.
Because this is at the bottom of a bay, that's what they're called, dildo.
Wow. So thank you.
Is dildo.
Dildo's the bottom of a boat. Thank you.
Spanish one for I said vamos al dildo. Like, in Spanish, I'm like, no, yo quiero que abajo al dildo. Vamos para abajo de barco. All that fucking words.
That's amazing. Oh, okay.
That's kind of like that. Dork, right? Like the origin of dork. Because it's actually a whale penis.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And then Daryl's one of your favorite words, bedunkle.
Yeah, the peduncle is the tail, or like the portion of the tail of a whale. So a bedunkadunk being a whale tail is perfect.
Cute. Oh my God. I love it.
It's perfect.
I really love how people of color like just flip these words.
She got that badonka, yo. What?
Something about badonka. She's like, yeah, I know who else got a badonka.
A bunch of seventh graders high-fiving in the back of the room. Ah! The teacher's like, "We marine biology. God damn it. Yeah.
What joyfulness. Okay. We are not allowed to have fun for this long, so we have to move on to the next story. Yes. So our next story is actually pretty nice too. It has to do with other things being dicks. And it has to do with the nation is full of people who for whatever reason are deciding that the best way to get elected is to pick on trans kids. And so that's been a thing we talk about a lot. And The Maryland governor, Wes Moore, declared a state of sanctuary for gender-affirming healthcare. So this is an executive order that protects both individuals who are seeking and receiving care and also for medical professionals. So because there's a number of states where you can be charged with a felony crime for giving gender-affirming care to sometimes it's just kids, sometimes it's at all.
But sometimes now that it's adults.
Yeah.
And mind you, gender-affirming care is not surgery.
It doesn't have to right? be.
It doesn't have to be. Gender-affirming care can just be psychology. but yeah, they
haircut extending like gender affirming. Like I'm gonna get my haircut look more like a bro. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. I'm gonna prescribe you somebody to talk to and some binders from Target, and you can be charged with a felony. You can get 10 years in prison for making shopping recommendations. Yeah, it's it's a whole thing. But they never say that part. They say they're trying to butcher kids or whatever. Which again, zero references of that actually happening doesn't take place.
Yeah, it's interesting because yeah, I mean, this is like that's a really good point about gender affirming things, because if you're cis, there's a ton of stuff that's gender affirming, right? Like padded bras are completely normalized for like a cis woman, you know, and like
that's
shaving your body hair and you know, like you could talk like more serious things like breast implants, like that is absolutely. And it is covered by health insurance. If you have a mastectomy, that you can get the gender-affirming care of getting breast implants when you have your cancer treatment. That is covered by insurance, and it exists purely to be gender-affirming. And and we don't think about the ways in which cis people are affirmed all the time through the use of like clothing and like supplements. And all
the fact that you can buy rhino boner pills at 7-Eleven, I'm like, really? I can buy rhino boner pills if I feel like, you know, whatever, but you know, some kid can't get whatever they need to feel more comfortable with themselves. Like that's crazy.
It's nuts. And you know, but it also goes to, these are bad faith arguments, right? Because if you really want to talk about gender affirming and you bring up that shit, then they all shut up and they just call you names behind your back.
Okay. You know what? Talk about the guy that is 5 months. I can't watch. Honestly, I really do genuinely. I'm not even just saying this just to be like, I generally get mad when I watch movies now. You just see like straight people kissing, like literally every fucking movie. I'm like, every fucking movie is a love story. What the fuck? I'm watching these heterosexual motherfuckers for literally for an hour and a half waiting to kiss. I'm like, go fuck yourselves. Like, you can't have, the one gay couple is like, look at each other like, man, this movie in Florida.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, and I do love that part of the argument when you talk about how many things affirm heterosexuality. But it's a similar thing to the, what is it? I can't remember the name of this thing, but it's like 55% of people on this earth have uteruses, right? But when you ask men, when men are in a place and they go, there's a lot of women around here, it's like a 20%. So there's like I can't remember what it is, but it's like 20% is the limit at which men will be like, that's a lot of women here. When in all honesty, there are less men in the world.
Mm.
So like if you're at like a conference or something, and like 30% of the people in the room are women, some man is probably going to be like, there's a lot of girls. When that is not how the world works, right? And so, yeah.
That's very interesting. I see that in comedy shows where four black people show up in the audience and the comedian's like, oh, it's a hood show. I'm like, what? It's a hood show? Never mind. This show really just went hood for four black people walking in? All right. Whatever.
Yeah. Yep. It tells more about you than it does about them that you decided to bring this up.
Mm-hmm. This also has to do with like how we perceive like how much space people are taking up and how much they're talking. And there's like that perception of like women talk more than men, but in actual numerical count, it's not true. It's just that it's like striking somehow when it happens. Or you know, like that I didn't want to pay attention to that. I had to, so I thought about it more. Like,
wow. Or here's another way to make it incredibly sad. There's a window like whales. So like when we say, oh yeah, whales are making a comeback, it's like, nah. If you look at like how many whales there were in like 1850 versus in 1940, like 80% of the population got decimated. So now when there's like, you know, a third of that number around, we go, hey, we're doing it. And it's like, no. The biodiversity is in the toilet because of everything we've done and refused to fix. Yeah.
I've seen this been brought up on TikTok a bunch of times. So if you've already heard it, please, you know, stop me. But, you know, when people use that example, you know, because we're talking about, you know, trans kids and all these things. Remember, people use the example of left-handed people. Have you heard that? Mm. That one time they were like, nobody was left-handed because it was frowned upon. Literally the church would your fucking ass if they found out you were left-handed. And then when they were like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. It teetered off at like 22%. That's all we had, 22%. That's why we don't really know how many people identify as gay, queer, trans, whatever, because we don't let them come out. But the fact that we had a little bit of point from the 70s to the 2020s that we saw an uptick of people finally feeling comfortable isn't like shut it back down. And it's not letting people be themselves. So we don't really know what is the normal amount of people who identify as queer, because we don't know.
You're right. And imagine how much projection would stop if you were just allowed to be whatever you wanted.
Like, oh, 80%. Cool. Because really it's like, what, like 2%, even less than that, identify as trans. And it's just like, but in Ron DeSantis' mind, it's every fucking day someone. Every
it's
day.
All of your children. It's all every child. Children.
Every child.
Every single one is going to do it if they're not brought to heel.
Yeah.
It's just really, like, it's funny. Like, we talk about this stuff a lot, but I'm so curious why... I mean, we know why, but it's like, this is the thing du jour to be the most concerned about, right? This is the cultural war piece that we have to touch on. Like, in what way are you going about your life, random ass dude in Florida, where trans kids are impacting your day to day on any level? Like, when you woke up in the morning, some trans kid, like, dyed their hair, and now your breakfast is ruined. And then some other kid got an undercut, and now your fucking lunch is ruined. And it's like, what?
I'm in chats with random dudes, and one of them was like, oh, all these trans folks. I was like, listen, if you don't like a person who happens to be trans, turn 15 degrees in any direction you choose. I promise you, you won't see another one. Fucking relax.
Keep walking.
It's fine. Ignore that one person and move on. It's not a lot of people, but
it's also people in their own bubbles. You know, I have the luxury that I grew up in New York City. So culture, race, everybody was around me all the time. You know, I met people, men that transitioned and stuff like that, and it was a real learning experience. So it's just unfortunate that people don't get to, like, I don't know, share and experience and see other people. They just stick in their own little bubble with their conservative, heterosexual, let's read the Bible and you know, and jerk off and sin, you know what I mean? Just that's what I, you know what I mean, just like, right. Fucking be open, dude, like, this is but they won't step out.
It reminds me of I grew up in New York as well, and I think I was in elementary school, and we were talking about different places or whatever, and they talked about the melting pot. This is probably junior high. So New York is this melting pot, right, where everybody shows up and then it all melts together. We all just become things. And it was like, no, we're actually moving to a tossed salad. So this had to have been before Chris Rock's Bring the Pain. But, you know, we now refer to it as a tossed salad because it's not that we're melting everybody into being the same. It's we all show up and there's a diverse set of people that we can also, you can see every piece of the salad, but they all come together in this great way. And
I like that
Yeah, it's a cool metaphor for it instead of this melting pot thing, which all, I mean.
All the best foods are like a mixture of things, right? Like one of the reasons that I look like a crazy person is that when I take all of my food apart and then put it back together. So like, for instance, if I get a burrito, I open it up and then I tear off a little tortilla and then I get little bits of stuff inside to make a smaller little burrito because I don't want to just take a giant bite of rice. You know, like I want all of it in there.
Sure.
And plus also it's fun and I'm mostly a toddler, so.
I love that you get under a burrito like it's a hood. Like, let me see what they put in. Right?
Check it out. Oh yeah, that shouldn't be doing that.
That's
So shout out to Maryland's governor, and there's a few other places that are trying to do this. So like 20 states have enacted laws and policies that either heavily restrict or ban gender affirming care. 17 of those in the last year, because this is like again an election time. In five of those states, Alabama, Oklahoma, Idaho, North Dakota, and Florida, providing gender-affirming health care to a minor is a felony crime punishable by up to a decade in prison. So Maryland is one of the growing number of states that is enacting SHIELD laws. So there's at least 10 other ones. Pennsylvania is not on this list, so we got to get on that. But D.C. has gotten on this. And that's, you know, we just have to keep looking to what is working in these states so that we can try them out. Like it's the same stuff with the anti-abortion bans, like just see what other solutions states are coming up with, like constitutional amendments that people vote on and stuff like that. But
I'm always surprised at how progressive DC is, even though like government is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always so weird to me.
It's the people of DC. Are largely poor. You know, this is called Chocolate City for a reason.
Right. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like the people of DC, the people who keep the government running, because they are the people who run the janitor services. They're the people who cook the food. They're the people who keep they're the admins. They're the, you know, all those people who keep that thing running are all reasonable human beings, or mostly reasonable human beings. And they voted for a bunch of stuff. Like it's wild going to DC now. I live in Baltimore, so I can get there easier than when I lived in Philly. But like weed is legal recreationally, but only for the residents of DC because they can only vote for themselves. That's so right. And the federal government is still illegal. So for themselves, it is legal. So now if you go to a dispensary in DC, they're like, unless you have a DC driver's license, I can't give you anything. I can't sell you a thing because federally it's illegal. It's a stupid thing, but it's what happens. And you shout out to states that have taken the world as it is and are like, this is a way that we can help, you know, in an outsized thing, similar to the New York Public Library being like, as long as you have an ID, you can be a member of this library and we will mail you all the books that are banned. New York actually took a step up and said, hey, you don't have to live in New York to be a member of this library, and you can get all the shit online, you do whatever you want. If you can do good. Shout out to Westmore and more importantly the voters of Maryland. Maryland's also had very good abortion laws, like from the rip. Like you know, when all this Roe shit went down, Maryland was like, yeah, we already got this locked down. So you know, Maryland is good on that, if nothing else.
So that actually is a really good segue to our final piece of fucking news, and this is like kind of an interesting, weird story. I wouldn't call it necessarily good, bad, whatever. It just is. But a video was recently released. This is an article from Rewire News Group, which we use a lot. We highly recommend. Rewire covers a lot of things around sexual health, reproductive justice, abortion rights, anything related to bodily autonomy. And they do really great investigative journalism. But this is about information that was publicly accessible, but it was just recently exposed, and the people behind it are mad that you're hearing them say what they said. So this pro-life council, which is a subgroup of the American College of Pediatricians, it's a physicians group, and they are specifically the small number of physicians who are opposed to abortion and gender affirming care. They endorse conversion therapy, and they are, you know, just not good at science despite doing it for a job.
The Southern Poverty Law Center calls them a hate group.
So this was a recording of a Zoom meeting that happened in March of 2022. And this is before Roe v. Wade was repealed. And basically, it's just this video is them just speaking honestly about what their whole deal is and the fact that they've just been trying to kill abortion rights by a death by a thousand paper cuts. And they are well aware of all the arguments against them, but they're just basically coming up with talking points and I don't know how would you characterize this, Daryl? This is just a really interesting, I'm just none of this is super surprising.
It's not, but what is nice is knowing that they know this, right? So when I will sit here and make the wild assertion that they are trying to do minority rule, where they understand that most people disagree with them, but they've just decided that the only way to win is to put their people fraudulently in places of power so that they can enact their will. This is proof of that. This is them talking about it. They're like, listen, one of the quotes is the medical community is kind of against us.
The doctors are the problem. Yeah,
the doctors are, what we've learned is that the doctors are the problem, when it comes to medicine. So they know they're the villains, and they know that they can't win if everybody is given a fair shot at a vote. So they have to have these machinations, and they have to do this stuff. And as much as it's fun to say that these are all slack-jawed yokels and stuff, these are intelligent people who are mobilizing their cabal of evil and enacting it. And so, while it's tough to it's tough to form community. They have figured out that if you just use evil and hatred, you can focus that a lot. So, it's a nice little look into their world. And this was before the Dobbs decision that essentially repealed Roe v. Wade, but it's just a good look into how they discuss stuff and what.
Yes. I was really surprised by some of the things. When I have a debate, I guess if you can debate anybody who's against abortion rights, I always ask, all right, so practical things, all right, is somebody going to jail for doing this? What is the punishment? Who, who's in charge of that? And then also, what are you going to do for all of the babies that are now born? Are you going to do anything for those kids? That you're so in love with, and all of these very practical questions. And they basically are just I guess somebody should do something, but we're not going to come up with those solutions. We're certainly not going to.
That's not the point. But the idea of them saying that's not the point is actually the banner, they make flyers and say that this is how you should discuss this stuff, right? Because it's very logical to be like, okay, you want children to be born, how are you going to take care of these children? Do we have a society that helps people who need help with their children? We don't, so we should allow people to not have kids if they don't want to.
Aside from everything they're doing with Roe v. Wade, the one thing that's really pissing me off about this article is the fact that they're fucking trolls, and they were like, oh, this is going to piss off those fucking liberals, yo. There's going to be a media circus. People are going to be crying in the streets. And then we were like, okay, we're going to help each other out, build systems, move out of state. And they were like, why are they not as mad as we thought they were going to be? Because we're fucking people. We know your fucking games, you douchebags.
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off about this. They're like, oh, this is going to be a PR disaster for us. And it's like, what, nothing happened? Like, yeah, because we fucking know what your games, and we look out for each other. You know what I mean? As soon as this happened, I go back to the undocumented stuff. Undocumented women have a very hard time seeking, already before this, seeking the healthcare they needed. So I knew of a lot of programs. I donated $1,000 to make sure that women who are undocumented crossing the, you know, the Rio Grande can get the access that they need. And that's what we did. We just kept not how do we hide people, but how do we support the groups that are already helping people do this? You know, yeah. forget these motherfucking right-wing motherfuckers. They're going to be doing their shit. How can we help people in time of crisis? That's what we focused on. Yeah, there were those, you know, angry on the street marching, but a lot of us just got to work on a new phase of how to keep people safe. That's why it pisses me off that they're like, oh, man, people were not as mad as we thought they were. Yeah, good. Good. In a way, good, because we got to work. And yeah. now it's voting people. States are trying, you know, like you said, some states are trying to codify it in some ways or another. So, you know, fucking new president on the road, new Congress, whatever, we get it back. But for right now, we got to work to help each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the right wing playbook is complain about how bad government is and encourage people to disengage mm-hmm. and leave them only to methods like this, where we have to, you know, figure out an underground railroad to get people to the health care that they deserve. But, you know, on the flip side, wherever you are, you can help. And sometimes all you can do to help is vote. Like, just go vote in every election and be aware of the circumstances. If the only way you can help is by challenging your shitty uncle, do that, right? But there are a variety of levels to do that. The problem with a lot of our shit is a lot of these systems have been kicking people out because it makes sense capitalistically, right? Like, it just you take in money from as many people as possible and you pay as few people as possible, and then you drive that added money into shareholders, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just you what the hell is it? Redistribute the wealth in ways. So, like, you know, yeah, people are going to have their ways around these things, but, you know, as much as it's great that these people were thwarted with what they thought was going to be a PR nightmare, you know, at all levels, we should be trying to do the right thing, because as we can see, the people who are doing the wrong thing are having meetings in double trees where they sit down for hours and game plan how to make sure that you have to have a child that you don't want to have.
can I say like just one more thing? And I'm sorry if I'm
on
this, but one of the things like that I kind of hate about these Christian groups above all else is that they really tie death or suicide with like hell. Because one of the things that I actually found very, almost, when I found out about this, almost refreshing, is that slaves and indigenous people used to commit suicide in mass to mm-hmm. uphold slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're gonna do whatever you want, but I'm gonna take my life because I don't believe that this is, you know, that I'm part of this universe. I will come back in one way or another. But these Christian groups have really sold us on the idea. I'm not trying to get people to commit mass suicide,
right.
But they convinced us on the idea that this is you have to endure this pain if you want beauty in the afterlife. No, this place sucks. If a woman or any individual does not want to have a child because this place sucks, yeah, this place fucking sucks. All right,
right.
Kill the fuck out of that baby. All right, period. Don't have that baby. This place sucks. Okay, part of me really does want to sometimes be like, this place sucks. I go to therapy, and one thing I keep trying to tell my therapist is like, not all my pain is from me. It's from out.
Right.
And yeah. She's like, no, you need to work on your pain. I'm like, but the pain's out here. I love my family. I love my friends. I have a decent job and cut my hours. Fuck them. The thing that's hurting me the most is, you know, I can't get status I can't get U.S. status. I can get deported. You know, I don't have enough money to eat. Global shit.
Yeah.
The macro is fucking depressing me.
Yeah.
Christian groups make it, if you kill yourself, you're going to hell. Yeah, are we so sure about that? Because I've been already.
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand, as a person who is struggling, I guess one would say, as a person who's been diagnosed with depression, I completely understand I completely understand the drive to, like, don't kill yourself, right? You're valid, you're supposed to be here, do what you can with the shit that you have, value it, blah, 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 blah. But also, yeah, shit sucked, and it has for a while. And, you know, that fury, that rage at injustice has got to go somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am a person who takes that rage and I focus it inward, and I need to learn how to not do that so much, right? But I know that I can't focus it outward, because if I go running out in the street and yelling, I'll be murdered. So, you know, it's this back and forth.
Yeah, it's back and forth. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We go out there and yell, this place is crazy. This place is making me crazy. They'd be like, look at him, he's weak. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah, there's something definitely to be said for like, okay, so therapy, I think, can be really useful, especially since like we have generations and generations of people who just don't know how to like react to life stressors. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, are you really supposed to be comfortable in a world that is experiencing a lot of the things that it is? And the anti-abortion movement, I think, is really funny because they'll, you know, people will make that argument like, well, what if your mom aborted you? And you talk to anybody millennial or younger and they'd be like, sick, dude.
Do you know what student loans are? Do you understand that I wouldn't have to deal with those bitches if I wasn't here? What?
If I can make a little book recommendation, there's a great book I read called Make Mindfulness. Mm. And it is about how meditation has been coerced by the West as a way to make you feel like you're the problem. The reason why you're so stressed is that you don't know how to breathe, man. Mm. So actual meditation from actual, you know, India, it's supposed to make you stop and think, what is wrong with the society around me? But the McDonald version of what we're sold in the West is no, you're the problem, not society. They flip the script on what it's supposed to be. So please read this. This one makes me think a lot about, you know, death, sure, in the sense that they're preventing us from really exploring all of humanity by keeping us here and fearful of, it's you, you're the problem, not the world.
Yeah. The goal is to be as productive a human being as you can, but it's like, toward what?
Towards what?
Toward what? Yeah. Like to buy a house that I can't even live in because I'm fucking working 20 hours a day and I don't have weekends, but I choose to do this because it allows me to keep a car that I only use to go back and forth to work.
Yeah. I say the politicians will have a lot easier time controlling us if they give us enough money to party. That's what we want to do. Start a party. If we could comfortably party every Friday and Saturday, you know, they can keep the shit going forever.
they do, and that's the issue. Yeah, they do. Yeah. So this, a lot of the game is just working hard enough to become one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The temporarily embarrassed millionaire thing. Yeah. On that note, we got to keep this party train rolling. So yes. Let's keep talking about real fun shit. We're going to head to our next regular segment, which is Fucking Idiot. Fucking brilliant. It's bad stuff. It's good stuff. That's kind of like all the time anyway. But our bad stuff, let's say what it is. All right. So congenital syphilis rates are up 900% among Mississippi babies, and these numbers are expected to grow. The state epidemiologist said that like they're trying to increase testing, because the thing about syphilis is like, if you just get a shot, I think, of penicillin, like in the first trimester, like everybody's good. Like, it's totally curable. But a lot of people are just not getting prenatal care for a lot of reasons. And if you don't, I don't think a lot of people want syphilis in general. It's a serious situation. It can lead to some really, really negative outcomes. But for a fetus, it's real bad news. There's a 40% chance that the fetus is going to die either through miscarriage or stillbirth, or they'll make it to birth and then die shortly thereafter. And so this is a very curable problem if we just put the resources towards it. We have a lot of these public health cases that are especially like Mississippi, Alabama. There's a lot of the specific populations that are really experiencing this.
And here is where intersectionality rears its beautiful head. All right. There are a bunch of bad cases in Mississippi. Anybody want to guess which demographic has the lion's share of those cases? It's the people who weren't allowed to vote for their representation in Jackson. Yeah. Oh, man, isn't that wild how that works? Yeah, it all comes together. Yeah, it all comes together. Yeah, Mississippi's a shitty place if you want to learn about how your genitals work or how to shake the hand of someone whose skin color is different. It's a shitty place to live. And for some reason, they have dedicated professionals who are trying to help these people stop fucking their goddamn cousins. But... it's not working, and they're ending up with syphilis babies. And you know, maybe if they just got taught about how medicine works and safe sex practices, it would help. But you know, if they learn that, then they'll be whores, I guess.
Well, it's also like it's hard as hell to get to the doctor sometimes. Like, I have a really also hard true. Time yeah. navigating the American healthcare system, and I have a ton of resources and a lot of education, and I find it daunting as hell. So yeah. I can only imagine if I didn't have like the experiences that I've had, and I didn't have like the family and the, you know, the people that work in healthcare that have helped me navigate it. Like, I can't even imagine. And I mean, I have a hard enough time, you know, just getting like dental care, you know, things like that. And this is something that there's even like stigma around on top of that. So it's mm-hmm. it's not just needed healthcare, but it's also stigmatized. And this is it's such an unnecessary, tragic thing.
And you know yeah. what? Mario, you're right. I didn't scroll down to the charts, but you're right. Black Americans are affected tremendously in Mississippi above all else. I mean, you know, black people are not, I mean, white people aren't even like a quarter of that.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. And it, you know, it has to do, and again, intersectionality, right? It has to do with levels of affluence, right? If you have a lot of money, you probably have good insurance, which means you know your doctor, you can go to him immediately. If you are reliant on state sanctioned, on state sponsored stuff, there's going to be a lot less of that access, especially because Mississippi was one of those countries that decided to take the American Healthcare Act and tell them to go fuck themselves, right? So,
what is the country? It is a little area down there. Yes. His own right. country, man. Is
it, right. But they decided to make it harder for people to seek health care. So it blows. You know, at this point, we should just have the National Guard drop pamphlets over it like we did in fucking, like they did in like the Vietnam War or whatever. When
yeah.
They dropped a pamphlet that was like, why are you black people fighting?
Black people back from Mississippi. Like, why are you still there? Right. No, he's back, man. That's 49 other states. Come on.
Right. It's Route 66. Just take it in the direction, my guy. There will be a sign. You know, it's not enough to just tell these people to move. Obviously, where you live is not picked by you, and your ability to be mobile in this world can be very limited in a lot of ways. But and it doesn't help if there's going to be a giant brain drain from Mississippi, right? If everybody who's smart decides, says fuck this place and leaves, the people who are left, who are usually like your uncles and aunts, they get fucked over, right? So yeah, it's bad all around in Mississippi. You know, hey Biden, declare a state of emergency and fire everyone. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, it is crazy, like how many towns in America have like serious deserts with no healthcare, no food. No, I mean, I'm part of the immigration. You know, I'm really in the immigration system, and I'm shocked that some towns in Texas have absolutely no immigration lawyer, that they actually have to go like to Houston or somewhere far to get somebody who will represent them. Because, you know, a lot of the smaller towns have ICE facilities, and right. there's literally, even though they have an ICE facility, they have like no immigration lawyer there. You're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, so there's also immigration lawyer deserts. Right. I'm like, oh my God, that's terrible.
But if you were going to be an immigration lawyer, like, oh, I'm going to move to this small town, you're not going to make enough money to live. And that's the issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Even a healthcare professional, you won't make enough of, you know, right. Medicaid and stuff like that to do that.
Right. And yeah. you can't because they refused to take in the money that was being given to them by the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. You know.
The way this country hurts itself by hurting people of color, it's just,
yeah.
it's fucking ridiculous. Get over yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
It's a whole separate podcast going yeah, about how people was like, no, let's all just die now. Like that whole idea of, the end of days are coming and this is going to help bring that along. That's a variety of documentaries that I've watched at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
We're just pulling for the rapture.
Yeah. 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 Motherfuckers out here. Like, it blows my mind that, like, yeah, like, when people were watching Captain Planet, apparently some of our contemporaries were rooting for the villains. I don't understand that.
You're right. Somebody was like, yo, I like that big pig looking guy.
He's my favorite. Yeah, Boss Greedley. You know what? That guy, he reminds me of my dad. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. That's true. Oh my God.
On that note, let's switch gears and go to something a little bit more positive. We will take it to our final regular segment, which is fucking brilliant. And this is something that we want to applaud and we think is good. So, Tyler James Williams, who's known for a number of shows like Everyone Hates Chris, and I think he's also in Abbott Elementary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And he's gotten a lot of people prying about like whether he's straight or gay or what, and there's like rumors around it. And he took to Instagram to just make a much larger point than confirming or denying or anything. And he said that the conversation's bigger than him. So I'm not gay, but I think the culture of trying to find some kind of hidden trait or behavior that a closeted person lets slip is very dangerous. And it just has to do with the idea that we're just overanalyzing other people, trying to like catch them slipping. And it just creates anxiety for all sorts of people. So if you are in the closet and you're like deliberating, it just makes it extra stressful. And it's just all of us being hyper-focused on like the wrong thing. And there's not one right way to be straight or gay or any of those kind of things. So maybe everybody calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think about how much of that. And I will not only say I've been affected by it, I know in my past I have been one of those people. But it's a way to police behavior. And it's this thing where like someone's going to start with the thing like, oh, all these Hollywood people gay and they be doing weird gay stuff. And so you just start looking for any kind of gay out of a person. Be like, see, that kind of shit. And what he's saying is, yeah, when you act like that, you are making it tough for people who aren't straight. Like anybody who has any idea in their body that they might be queer, but see this shit and they become closeted. You force them in the closet. They don't want to express themselves in ways that might lead to this level of overanalysis, right? So yeah, quite awesome. Learn better, do better, or whatever. But quite a way to address that. Where it's like, listen, it's not about if I'm gay or not. I'll never satisfy people who are going to say that anyone who's successful is gay. You'll never satisfy those people, right? But what you can do, and this is why I say all the time, fucking yell at your shitty uncle. I yell at my shitty uncle all the time. I love him to death. I'm going to see him in a few weeks. But man, I put him through it. And because not just because he's a dummy, but because he's a dummy in front of kids. And the kids have to see that there's a person who's going to challenge them on this shit. Like, it's important that those kids see that. And like, it's not, people will be like, how can I show the young people in my family I'm an ally? It's by yelling at the bigots. You don't have to go to them and be like, you might be this and blah, 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 blah. But you don't even have to have that conversation. You just have to show them that there is someone who disagrees with that nonsense and won't let that shit just fly easy. You're not just going to throw a slur out and not be challenged, right? And that is the way to be better. And this is a way of doing that, because he's not just saying, hey, I'm not gay. He is challenging all those people who would say that this makes him gay or that. He's challenging the behavior and taking the conversation to an elevated place.
It's also interesting to me because like some of the people who talk the most about trying to clock someone are queer people. But mm-hmm. I mean, when I feel like it's not like necessarily a super big interest of mine, but like when queer folks do it, sometimes we're like just desperately seeking like representation, mm-hmm. and like one of us or like see something that like I can relate to sometimes too. So like, but yeah, it's not necessarily a healthy habit.
You know, it's funny. I've been trying to do like a stand-up joke about this where, you know, I hate to use the word ally because it always sounds like you're being so fake, but you know, like I love everybody, you know, I love being in front of everybody. I have a lot of friends who identify, you know, as non-binary or trans or whatever. And there's always that point where I'm like hanging out with somebody new who's from like, you know, the LGBT community, where they'll just be like, you ever suck a dick? And I'm like, no. Do you want to suck a dick? I'm like, okay, now I mean, I haven't even asked myself this question, so now I'm having okay. What about trans women? Would you? And I'm like, whoa, okay, hold on a second. Okay, I'm not ready for all these questions, and I'll be real. Like, I feel uncomfortable because I haven't even like asked myself these questions. So it's like it is trying to like clock you, and if, especially if you're like somebody who's like, you know, identifies straight, and you're just like, fucking, I really want to be an ally. They're like, yeah, but come on, have you ever? Or would you ever? And it's like, I don't know. It is kind of like trying to. So for somebody in Hollywood, like I get a lot more that even just being an actor, I guess he gets asked all the time, like, "Oh, you're very this and that." And he's like, "No, I'm trying to be comfortable in who I am, and you know, all these questions make me, you know, feel a certain way." For me, it's always like, "Man, people really want to know if I suck a dick or not." Like a lot, right. Like a lot.
Yeah. But yeah. Sure.
But when I hang out with other people, I don't ask them about their sexual escapades like that. I'm not like, you ever thought about eating a pussy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you don't want to. You know, so it's always funny how it gets said like the other way.
Yeah.
But I do think that's like one of the really brilliant upsides of queerness or kinkiness or anything that's non-normative sexuality is that like it's the first opportunity to ask yourself those questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because what if there's stuff that you could be doing that you would love and you're missing out on because you just like never even contemplated it? And I think that like, when someone is cis and straight, we end up going along with like social norms without even really taking the time to like be like, yeah, what am I actually into? Like, what do I love? Like, what is attractive to me? And like, that is part of building a life of your own design and not finding yourself like having committed to a bit that you started.
Like, that's a good point. Next time I'm asked those, I do need to not put up the wall and be more like, you know what? They are asking me, what are some things maybe outside of this heteronormal character that I've adopted? Have I asked myself these questions? I'll be real with you. I'm like, yeah, I think you're asking me more questions than I've ever asked myself. And yeah, that's why I'm scared.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, not to be too serious about it, but those are very sobering questions, and you need to be able to ask yourself those privately. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you really do. Cause I, you know, we've been doing the show for damn near 10 years. So I've asked myself all of these questions, usually in front of a crowd. But you know, it's important to do that. And like, I can say very assuredly that I'm a cis straight man, not because I just don't be doing that gay shit, but because because I am, and like I've investigated my feelings. And it is that thing of like when you have your friends that say pause every 5 minutes because everything could be taken as gay and they have to make sure that you don't know. I've had many of friends be like, hey man, you know, if you did suck dick, I wouldn't care. And they'd be like, why would you say that? It's like, because you keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
You keep bringing it up. It's okay. I don't want to do it with you, but I'd hug you anyway. And they go, man, you know, make the decision on your own. And then you don't have to put it in nobody's face. It's the disingenuous argument that all these people who hate trans folks and all the people, all this anti-LGBTQ hate is like, this is supposed to be private. Why are you putting it all in Front Street? Yeah, because people like you.
Yeah, nothing, yeah.
Because you should be able to put it on in Front Street. Yeah. Yes, it is a private thing. And there are parts of it that should be private. So like your individual take on it and what you would do should be private. But, you know, it also shouldn't you advocating for yourself shouldn't just be a rebuke of somebody different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's such an interesting thing to me. Like when I don't know, I think there's a lot of cis or straight people who you know, like can imagine the idea of being queer or being trans, but then just hiding it because it would be so uncomfortable, difficult, socially unacceptable to be queer in those ways.
Mike Pence.
And people say like, you know, white, I mean, you can be gay, I'm not judging you, but like, couldn't you just live completely based on these social norms instead of what you actually want? Or, you know, like if I were trans, I would probably just pretend, I would just go along. And it's just like, okay, well, the fact that you can tells me that this isn't relevant to you personally. So,
right.
Because you don't want to die, yeah. Or maybe you do for other reasons, but you know, like that really says to me that, like, all right, for instance, one of the most gender affirming things in the world for me is I also do drag king stuff, and I have a lot of fun with gender performance as dressed up as a dude and dancing in like a boy band. And the moment I'm off stage, I'm taking that stuff off. Mm-hmm. Because it's actually a really good opportunity to like play with how gender is all about presentation and expression and performance, and how masculinity and femininity are absolutely performance. But it is so deeply uncomfortable for me to be just like standing there as a person like that. And so mm-hmm. then I'm like, immediately, I'm like, I'm going to go back into like my femme attire, because I feel comfortable enough and in myself and in my, like, if somebody perceives me as trans, then whatever, that's fine. But I feel comfortable enough with that. But it's also a really good opportunity for me to try on all these things and see what does feel authentic and good. And like, if, you know, if somebody tries on gender expression that helps them realize that they're non-binary or trans or whatever, like, they're the only ones who are going to be able to know like whether or not that fit. Like, why would it? I don't know. I just don't understand why anybody gives a shit.
No, I'm when I go on stage to perform, I'm very, for lack of a better word, I'm very flamboyant. Like, I use my hands a lot, and I move, and I use my body. I'm Dominican, too, so I use my body and everything. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I get is at the shows, people going like, are you gay? And I'm like, oh, no, you know, no, I'm not, but thanks for asking. I'm like, no, because on stage, you're so like, you know, and I'm like, wow, you're really putting me in a box that like every other male comedian tell them, like, yeah, what's up? My name is so-and-so. I like, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, the government, and da-da-da, and da-da-da. And they're like, wow, you really are. You sure you don't suck dick? I'm like, wow, just put me in my hands. I am in such a box that this has.
Yep. And yeah, yes. It's that thing. And I always say, when people ask me those questions, I'm like, I know, I like girls. And so I'm around them a lot. Also, you know, I know it's because like I grew up with my aunts and shit. And like I was around women a lot as a kid. So I took on a lot of those affectations because that's the way we all communicated. But it is, that's my lovely short answer is I like girls. why are you acting move like that? Because I like girls from around him a lot.
But I do want to say one other thing. It is true. Like when you ask people, like, you know, like Tyler here, like, oh, you know, are you gay? Are you slipping? Whatever. What does suck is that we do put up these walls instead of just like really exploring all of our emotions. Like I'm a lot more comfortable being like, I just want to hug my guy friends. I just genuinely want to love my guy friends in ways that I've never loved men before. Like, mm-hmm. I love them now. And that's something that I'm happier that I've gotten to that point now where I'm like, no, man, I genuinely want to love people, like, in different ways. It doesn't always have to be sexual. You know, I can love people in very different ways, you know? So that's where at least I feel like I've at least grown up in that sense. It'd be like, no, but I would love to hug my guy friend right now who I miss so much. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would love to do.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, my God. So much of my college years with my college friends. We're all friends now, and it's very funny because they have changed. But I'd be like, yo, I love you, man. They'd be like, hey, get out of here with all that. I'd be like, no, I'm not going nowhere. Hug me. Yeah. Look me in my eyes. I'd be like, come on, man. And one of my friends, I don't know if he does this anymore, but every time I'd be like, give me a hug, he'd be like, my nigga. And he had to say that to hug me. Like, he couldn't just hug me.
Oh my God. I love my nigga. It.
And then he'd be like, bringing it in. It's like, we could have just hugged, man. Like, man, get out of my face. Yeah, but yeah. Now he's got like two kids and like he's all soft and shit now. But anyway, yeah, you know, life is beautiful.
We need more like representation in like love stories. Like, Che, you were talking about like every movie is about some love story between like whatever. And there's all these like fanfic and like shipping the idea that we want these two characters to hook up. And like, I'm a big fan of Ted Lasso that just finished. And there were characters that people just were like dead set. They needed to become a romantic couple. Then they were just so, like, so dead ass serious that needed to happen. And it's like, what if not every type of love is romantic and or sexual? What if you feel incredibly strongly positively towards somebody as like a fellow human being?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you don't want to have sex with your mom, right? No, that's horrifying. But you love this person.
Yeah, literally a love story about like a mom and son finding their, you know, like that's a love story in itself. That doesn't need to be anything more. Yeah, there's a lot of love stories that are
and
not
friend love stories.
Yeah,
hey, right, right. Yeah.
I love that shit.
I have to actually catch myself because you know I've been doing it for a long time, so I have a lot of friends that I have wonderful platonic relationships with, it where we say we love each other, and then I'll be hanging out with someone and be like, oh, I love you, and they'll be like, what? And it'll be, you know, whether it's different gender or whatever, and it's like, I'm very fond of you, mm-hmm. and I appreciate being in your presence. They go, oh, I. right. But it's like, yeah, you have to be careful with your words have meanings. They mean stuff. But yeah, you know, don't let time pass without the people you care for knowing that you care for them. This is way more a message to the young, because you haven't, life hasn't really beat the shit out of you yet. But like, yeah, tell the people you like that you like them.
All right. On that note, first of all, Daryl, I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Timmy.
Shay, I feel like I don't know you well enough to say that I love you, but I love everything I've found so far.
Oh, thank you. Same here, both of you. It's nice to get to talk to you more than just like seeing your pictures online and stuff like that. It's very lovely to get to know you too.
Y'all are gems. And it's on that note, we are running low on time.
Yeah.
So we are now just going to take it to... Obviously, everyone needs to go follow Shay online. So where do they go? Where can they see more of you?
Everything that I do is under the banner of My Undocumented Ass. So if you want to listen to my own podcast, just type in on Spotify, My Undocumented Ass. I'll come up. TikTok, same thing. Instagram. But everything else, yeah, just check me out. I'm going to be down in Florida. In July 1st, the SB 1718 goes into effect. The anti-immigrant law goes into effect in Florida. So there's going to be a mass protest march, everything on July 1st. So you can follow me on Instagram and see what's going on down on the ground on July 1st in Florida. I will be there.
Hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. Daryl, where can people find out more about you and buy your album? Check
out Yes, darylcomedy.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L. If you can't spell comedy, listen. My comedy is probably not for you. All right. It doesn't mean you can't vote. I encourage you to do so. You are loved, just probably not by me. Daryl Comedy is where you can go for that. Daryl_ is my Instagram and my Twitter. And Black Gentrifier is a page on my website dedicated to it. You can get it on all the places. And come and see me in the real life. I'll be all over the place. Go to my website, check my calendar, go to my link tree, check out ticket links, do it all. Dr. Timmery, where can the people find you?
You can find all of my stuff on drtimmery.com. That's drtimmarree.com. You can find links to the stories that we discussed here and other sexuality news, and you can see my upcoming events. So some of them are educational and some of them are just entertainment. So we've got upcoming burlesque shows like Get You Babe, We Can Do Both, where burlesquers give a TED Talk in the first half and strip in the second half. We've got the Summer of Sin for Slut Church. So if you like metal music or BDSM or just seeing butts, we've got every single Tuesday at Taboo, and also some pop-up events once a month at various play spaces. And also we, of course, have the 10-year anniversary show for DTF coming up June 24th. I don't know when this episode's coming out. So June 24th, we will be at Frankie Bradley's with some special guests. So definitely come join us there and follow us on DT Fun Hour on all of the things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to our producer, Flirt Vonnegut, for their hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you to Flirt for editing. Thank you, Shay, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Lovely Flirt Vonnegut, by the way. That's such a... Love that. Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, this is a joy. And thank you, everybody, for listening for up to and including 10 years, or if it's just your first episode, whatever. We appreciate you. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk at you next time.
Bye.